that we'll get a sign-up sheet back there. Probably going to do very similar to what we did last year. Hamburgers, hot dogs, the chips, and water. Last time we didn't provide water, and nobody provided water, but somebody, you had to buy it. And there are a lot of people that needed it. So, and then again, we'll probably go ahead and do the cotton candy and snow cone machine. So if you would like to help with that, we'll have a sign-up sheet soon for all of that. So, and then we have VBS, and VBS is going to be from July 28th to August 1st here at the church, and it is Camp Promise Rock, Finding Truth in the Great Outdoors. And if you want to help and you've not been in talking with Jared yet, just get with him, and he will be happy to put you to work. It is fun. Listen, I love our VBSs. I love to watch these kids. We come in, and I like to get in on the competition stuff. And I like to see Jared get hit with stuff. So I'm always going to throw my money towards the girls so the girls can win. Whoop, whoop. Amen. So, no, it's always a great time, so I'm excited for that. As long as he don't get in my car, I could care less. Sliming. Amen. It'll be payback for all. And I get to do it. That's where we should be at, right there. That's right.
You want the boys to win this year?
So, no, I still want the girls to win. Sorry. They tried to nominate me last year. Nope, sorry. Nope, I ain't getting slimed. Love you. But Linda can be slimed. I know it. Hallelujah. What is it if you can't have fun in the Lord? Amen?
I would take it.
Amen. So, Lord God, we just come before you and we just glorify you tonight. We're so grateful we get to come in here to worship you and as a family just to enjoy and have fun with one another. And Mary Hart, we like your medicine, Lord, and we're grateful for the joy that's in us that makes us just to be able to laugh with one another. Lord, I thank you that as we worship you tonight, that as we praise you, as we focus on you, that you will come and you will be in the midst of us, Father. Now, Lord, I just give you glory tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Stand your feet with us tonight.
Before, riding
to you that the rocks and the trees would cry out. So tonight, God, we shout your praise. We worship you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords tonight. We forget what happened in the day or what's going to happen tomorrow. But tonight we take the time to worship our God, our Savior, our King. Thank you.
done before, he will do again. The Bible says there's nothing new. He's done it all. He is saved. He is set free. He is delivered. He is made whole. He is made new. He has brought life where there was death. There is nothing. There is nothing that you are facing. There is nothing that you are looking at that is impossible with God. He is a God of the impossible. Exceedingly abundantly above all that you may ask or think. You may have some situations that you're going on and you're believing this, but God is the God of abundantly above. You're asking for seeds, and he wants to give you a tree that's going to provide everything that you have need of. You know, you can take the acorns off the tree, and that's great. That's going to provide you for that one moment that you grab the acorns. But what if the acorn tree was in your yard? What if you owned it? There's an endless supply of it. That's what God wants to do. He don't just want to give you this little thing. He wants to give you the endless supply. So whatever it is that you have need of right now, understand that God's got it. Amen? And what he's done before, he will do it again, and he will do it for you. Hallelujah. Let's give Lord a hand clap of praise. He is worthy. He is worthy. Hallelujah. Keep praying for your pastor. He's done preaching those crusades. The crusades aren't done. They go on for the next several days. I think there's two more nights, but he will preach in pastors' meetings during the day, and then they go out and they go to churches on Sunday, and they preach at a church on Sunday, and then they start flying back on Monday and get back on Tuesday. Amen. Children, you are dismissed. Them walking that direction kind of gave me the clue. Amen. We're going to take up tithes and offerings, and you know, I was praying, I was seeking the Lord for tithes and offerings, because I'm one that gets up here and says, you know what to do, just do it. Just do it. And I was reading, and I was listening, and I was meditating on the Lord. I was just trying to get, what do you want me to give? And I wasn't, the only thing I heard was the scripture that says, prove me and see if I won't do it. He says that there are some of you that have needs. And I'm the God that provides all your needs according to my riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Is that not the word says? He said, then are some of you that have wants. You just want things. We've come up against a big financial need in our lives. And I was stressing. I'm not going to lie to you about it. I was stressing about it. And it just seemed insurmountable. Like this figure before me is bigger than me. And a guy got up and preached an offering message at Botkins that used that scripture, prove me and see if I won't do it. And he said, you know what, I sowed a prove me seed. Well, I've never heard of that before, prove me seed. You know, what a prove me seed. But the Bible says, prove me and see if I won't do what I say I'll do. So I've decided that it's purpose in my heart that I was going to sow a prove me seed. But his prove me seed paid off a $30,000 debt that he had. God brought in $30,000 worth of debt that he had, bills that he had to pay. And through his prove me seed, God proved himself strong. You know what? I've sowed me a prove me seed. And I believe that my debt is going to be wiped out. I'm proving who he is. And just like he's done all my life, all of my life. It was funny. I'm not making fun of anybody. It's just funny to me, okay? Some things strike you funny, but you're not really making fun of the person. It just strikes you funny. That there's this people that had no electricity at home, so they went to the hotel because of the big storms, the tornadoes that went through. And so they went to the hotel for a couple of days while they had no electricity at home. So, listen, they have babies. They needed to do that, and I'm not against that at all. But I thought it was funny because me and some other person talked and said, I've had no electricity before, and I've stayed at home. I said, girl, I've had no electricity before, not because of a storm, because I had no money to pay the bill. The electricity was off, and I've had to stay a couple days with no electricity. So there was no hoteling during that time because I couldn't even pay the bill. There was a time that we went without water because I couldn't pay the bill. Listen, I don't go without water anymore. And the only time I go without electricity now is if the truly Mother Nature knocks it out and I have the wind, the storms knock it out and I have no electricity. Because I've proven God through the years. I've tested. I've given my tithe. I've given my offerings when he tells me to give offerings. And he's proven himself faithful in my life. Amen? So I just want to just put it in your mind. And we say it all the time. We don't want you to give because we tell you to give. We want you to give because you believe that word that it tells you to give. And that is what the Lord directs us to do. But I just want to put it in your mind. If you are struggling with anything right now, you know what? Just throw a little bit of faith out there. Give him a proof seat. You say, I'm not struggling in finances. You know what? Say, God, I'm going to give you this $10. This is a proof seat. I need to see something come back on it. And I know you're with me. I just need some encouragement, Lord. To know that you're with me. Amen? And I promise you, God will never fail. He will never not do what his word says he will do. So, Father, we just come before you and we thank you. We thank you that, Lord God, that you are not a man that can lie. You are not a man that I can even be plucked out of your hand. Lord, I'm there. I'm stuck forever in the palm of your hand. And I thank you that everything that I have need of, you've already provided according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And, Lord God, I thank you that yourself strong to this moment. You prove that you are the God that that Bible says you are. And every need they have, you take care of, Father. Father, I'm not just talking about financial needs right now. You said that above all, I wish that your soul may prosper and be in health. And Lord God, I believe that that's not just financially. That's a complete healing in our lives of peace and joy. And Father, I thank you. They sow a seed, you're going to prove yourself strong to them that you are the God of the impossible, and that you will do abundantly above all that we may ask for. We give you glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Bring your tithes up, and without. Church is going to come up and bring us the word tonight. I'm excited to hear it.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Regina. I understand what Pastor Phil was talking about. She got dangerously close to creeping up on my message. Oh, you got real close. It's all the same subject. It's all along those same lines. So she scooted out of here. But I do want to honor our pastors first and foremost, because you guys have to understand how much God has blessed you. Pastors who love, who serve, who sacrifice. I mean, that we get to have, a part of ourselves across the world. I got the opportunity to go to Kenya last year, and it was a life-changing experience. And, God moves there just like he does here. And so we're a church on all fronts. We are local, regional, state, national, and international. And so it's an awesome thing that we get to do that. So keep Pastor Phil up in prayer, and I just want to say what an honor it is to be here in this pulpit and to be with you guys tonight. Guys of the church, God loves his church. You are his bride. Amen. So you are his prized possession. He died for you, to save you, to love you, to set you free, and to bring you to a place of victory. And we're going to be talking about that tonight, actually. So, you guys are fortunate that you're not in my children's church right now, because I would make you all scoot to the center and fill up the first three rows. But you don't have to do that. I'm just picking on you, okay? Most adults are like, hey, man, come on. Space. We like our, we like our personal space. Kids, you can cram them in like sardines, and they're not as, I'm not going to fight you on that as much. So I'm just messing with you guys, but it is great to be here. It's always an honor and always a privilege. And guys, I'm excited for what God is going to do tonight. We're going to go with it, because I got a call on Monday night when I thought Pastor Phil had already skipped the country, but he was still with us in the U.S. I'm at the grocery store trying to check out, and I get a phone call. I'm like, I don't normally answer those, but I really felt like I should. And I saw his Pastor Phil. I'm like, what is going on here? And he's like, he told me I had an assignment that I was not yet aware of. And so that was to preach tonight, and that is to share the word with you guys tonight. So I got post-it notes, and I got scratches and scribbles, and so we're going to do our best, right? God's going to be with us, and I believe he's going to speak to us all tonight in some way, shape, or form. So I'd like to open up the word of prayer, and we'll get started, all right? Father God, we thank you for this great day. God, we thank you for the opportunity to gather in your name tonight as your church, God, as your children, Lord. And we just love you, Heavenly Father. We pray that you would just bless our time. We ask that you would touch our hearts with your word, that you would just speak through me, God, and that they would just hear you and what you have to say from the throne room of heaven. I thank you for it, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's kind of like whenever I might approach one of you about Vacation Bible School and let you know that I had this incredible opportunity for you in your life. So be on the lookout for those kinds of things coming your way. But tonight, the title of my message is very simply this. I just got three words, okay? And it's at your word. All right, so at your word is what we're going to be talking about. So if you turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter number 5, we're going to start in verse 1. We're going to share an account in the Gospel of Luke about an incredible thing that the disciples encountered with Jesus. So, you'll follow along with me. We're going to read the scripture. It says, "So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got to one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitude from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, 'Launch out to the deep and let down your nets for a catch.' But Simon answered and said to him, 'Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word,'" highlight that, "'I will let down the net.' And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they both began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken, and so also were James and John, the son of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men.' So when they had brought their boats to shore, they forsook all and followed him." This has quickly been made one of my favorite passages of Scripture recently. Heard this preached probably in the last 8 messages I've preached, from a combination of, I believe Pastor Bill mentioned it, an offering recently to a few of the speakers from our week of Pentecost down in Botkins. This message, this passage has been brought up over and over again. And I didn't even use it the last time I had the chance to preach earlier in the year. So I'm like, yeah, I don't know, stealing everything, but it's the Word of God, so it's definitely available for anybody to use at any point in time. But I actually, at work, my computer, it's password protected, so I have to come up with a password. It's got all these different combinations, caps, and numbers, and all this mess. So sometimes it can be difficult to remember, so I set about, in the past year, putting a scripture. Okay, so I actually had Luke 5:4, and I capitalized it, because don't try to come to work and mess with my computer, okay? That's the old one anyway. But, and so I went to type in my new password, which is a different scripture, but I was reminded of that. So I went, like, I almost forget what that says. And then I went and I read it. Like, but as I was reading it, at your word, the Lord just, he just illuminated that to me. Just, like, put that in all caps, underline it, and ding, 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 ding. You know, this is what I want you to speak to the church about. Okay, so let's break this down, this passage of scripture, at your word. Let's go from the perspective of natural thoughts first. Understand this, that Simon and his crew were expert fishermen. Okay? They owned their own company, it even says, I believe in verse 10. That these guys knew what they were doing. They were like on the professional bass fishing tour, man. Like, these guys can make money. This is how they earn their living, right? So they knew what they were doing. All right, so when Jesus tells them, after they've been out all night, they worked third shift. This is in the morning. They were tired, ready to go home. They brought their boats in. They were cleaning the nets up. Time to be done for the day. Well, Jesus comes along. He says, okay, well, Lord, we'll listen to you preach. That'll be nice. You can have my boat. Sure. Jesus just hops in. He says, hey, push out. Okay, so this is, you know, first, that was probably the first test of faith. They said, come on, Jesus, we're just standing right here on the beach. It's nice. But he didn't. And so he went through the fact that Jesus told me to go and to push out for a catch. I didn't catch anything all night long. We caught nothing. How many of you fishermen have ever been out and caught nothing? And it's disappointing. And the last thing you really feel like doing after you've been out for hours and you caught nothing is to go back out again, right? It's like, I think I'm done. I've got to go get some breakfast and go to bed. But now, so they're expert fishermen. They own their own company. Jesus is a carpenter. What does he know about fishing? And they already tried that. You know, how many times does God give us a word? And our first response is, I already tried that. Or I've already been doing that, kind of, or most of that way. Okay, now, let's look at it from the supernatural perspective, from what Jesus is probably thinking. Anytime Jesus speaks, he's speaking spiritually minded, heavenly minded, and from the mouth of God, from the heart of God, okay? He's not ever talking to us carnally or naturally, and so many times he was misunderstood in the Gospels by Pharisees and by other men and women because he was speaking spiritually minded and they were receiving it naturally minded. That's always going to cause confusion. So Jesus is like, I'm God. You're not. It's always a good thing to remember when God speaks something to us. I am the ultimate fish finder. Forget about your high-powered equipment, fishermen. Forget about what you naturally know, you know, and how many, you know, fish you think you're seeing on the radar. Jesus is going to know if all of a sudden there's a deep spot there and the fish are just camping out down a little deeper, down a little over. Okay? We may not even pick that up on our radar. Jesus is the ultimate fish finder. Do you trust me? And are you going to want it your way or are you going to want to do it my way? So, the question is, at your word, are you willing to do something another time if God requires it? Maybe you've done it six times. And you're at the point where you're tired, you're ready to give up. You're like, I've been doing this, I've prayed, I've read, I fasted, I believe God. Okay, I've sowed one seed, maybe God wants another seed. Maybe God's ready to take you to some deeper places, but you've got to go deeper yourself first. You have to do something another time because God asked it of you. You don't necessarily have to understand it or like it, but that's what God's asking. Okay, so I need some help. I need an expert. Steve, will you come up here for a second? Yes. I was just getting ready to say, she's stepping on it, man. I was just getting ready to say, I know you guys may be thinking, why'd you bring Steve up? You want an expert? Of course, that's all it says about, brother. Because Steve is a fisherman, right? He just got back from fishing for like almost a week up north, right? In Michigan. And I saw verifiable evidence, not a fisherman's tale, because Dave showed me, so I know that it's legit. I know he didn't print that off the internet or anything, capture on his phone. They caught some pretty decent fish, right? Okay, so you're a fisherman. You know what you're doing. Okay? Look, what's that? Oh, he has bait. Okay? See, especially to the most of the rest of us, who maybe not even know how to use a cane pole, I think you've got it going on. I think you know what you're doing. Now, if we were fishing for catfish, best is to do it at night, right? Okay. What do you fish for, Steve? Bass. Okay, so what would be the best if we wanted to fish for bass? Worm and Legion. Okay, but say you've been focusing on this one area. You and Dave were out in the boat. You were using your worms, your leeches, your spinner baits, all your best approaches, everything you got. You threw the whole playbook at it, and you got nothing. And I come up, I don't got near the depth of knowledge that you guys got. I've worked in a different field. I'm not a fisherman, you know. I know stuff about football, like watching it on TV, playing fantasy football, you know. But I say, you know what? God told me to tell you guys, you cast in just 20 feet over and just a little farther out. You might look at me like I lost my mind, like I want to you upside the head. Why don't you jump and swim out there and see if you see any fish in the water? Okay, but see, that was kind of like the way that it was that Jesus shows up and says, you know, I know you guys are doing everything you know to do. You've done it, you've worked it, you've thrown an entire playbook at it. You know, you guys know what you're doing, but I'm telling you, if you'll let your boats out, if you take your boats out, drop your nets for a catch, and you'll put it over here, then you're going to receive a catch. And so, at your word, is bringing you to that place that I'm going to do it what God wants me to do. Right? Okay. You're all done, Expert Steve. Thank you, Steve, for your fishing expertise on bass, not on catfish. I have actually fished catfish before. Catfish. So, let me, guys, at your word actually has a definition to it. And number one is to accept what one says without further verifying or investigating. And number two is to believe what someone says and act accordingly. So, let's do it like this. Let's take out, like, the one or the whoever, and let's put God in there. To accept what God says without further verifying or investigating. To believe what God says and act accordingly. I'll say it one more time. At your word. To accept what God says without further verifying or investigating. And to believe what God says and act accordingly. That is what it means for us to go at God's word. Now, guys, as a church right now, in our present season, personally and individually, we need to stand on the written word of God and on the word that God has spoken to us personally and the words that God has spoken to this church. Okay? Now is the time. Here is the place. This is the season. We are experiencing breakthrough. We are building a building. We're trying really hard. The rain is not cooperating. Okay, but we're going to keep praying just one more time. We're going to keep asking God each and every day as much as we can to change that jet stream pattern to move the rains down south. They can have some water. They can have some fun. Okay, swimming in the ditches and the bayous and everything. We need to dry out, right? So we got a building to put up. All right, but it is in process. So as we're in this moment of time, now is not when we draw back or step back into old ways or old habits. Now it's time when we progress forward. When God's telling us, when he's speaking to us in his written word, when he's speaking to us through his pastor, through our pastors, and the words that they're preaching from this pulpit, and whenever he's speaking to us, you know, through other people, maybe sharing a word that God has given them, now is the time to stand on that. At your word, God, I will do what is required to receive breakthrough, blessing, and victory. Now, sometimes God's word may be a big or noble task. Sometimes it may seem small or minuscule. And sometimes it may even seem beneath us. God, you really want me to help out with Vacation Bible School? Sorry, that's not a shameless plug or anything. I'm just, I'm looking around. But seriously, there's times when God will speak to us to do something that when we are thinking we're going to do something big and noble for God, maybe God wants us to just stand on this particular scripture just another week. Just pray again for our children. Just fast another time. Okay? At his word is where we need to be. We're going to take him at that word. And even though it seems like we've done that many times, we're going to do it another time if it needs to be. So let's look in the book of 2 Kings, if you'll turn with me back to the Old Testament. The book of 2 Kings is a story that many of you guys might be familiar with, but we're just going to touch on it. The story of Naaman. And this is a perfect illustration of a man who was a great soldier in the army of Syria. And he was used by God, actually, to bring a great victory for his people over the nation of Israel. And so it didn't seem like they were necessarily on friendly terms. Chapter 5. Now, I'm not going to read the whole story. I'm just going to touch on it real quick. But it goes something like this. The fact that Naaman was a man of valor, the Bible says. He was a man that was in the army. And we guys, how many veterans? blessing. You are a gift from God. I do know the fact that I have a brother-in-law and that is a veteran, that when you're going to bring to the military, you do carry a certain amount of valor with you. You do have a certain amount of pride, maybe not in a bad way, but of what you've accomplished and what you stand for. Okay, so when you're a soldier, you are trained and you are, you know, on point. So when Naaman gets there, because Naaman's got all the great stuff going on in his life, but there's something that's happening. He has leprosy. It was a nasty disease in the skin, would eat your flesh and everything, and it was terrible back then at those times. And so in their victory over Israel, they brought a little servant girl back to their home and served Naaman's wife. And when Naaman had this leprosy, his servant girl told his wife, you know, I just wish that Naaman could go see our prophet in Israel and God would heal him. And so you know what? He decided to take that chance. He had the king of Syria send the king of Israel a letter and say, hey, I'm sending Naaman, you know who he is, my best soldier, over for you to heal him. And so when the king receives that, he's like, you want me to heal Naaman? I can't heal him. I'm not God. Okay, so let's pick up right here in verse number 8. So it was, when Elisha the man of God heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. And Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, go, wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. But Naaman became furious. Okay, number one is that he didn't like the word he got from God. He was expecting to roll up in his valor, in his chariot, you know, in his prestige, and be treated in that manner. That Naaman would come out and would see him, would come out and greet him, or not Naaman, but Elisha, thank you, and he didn't get the greeting that he was expecting, and he didn't get the word that he necessarily thought he would get. And how many times have we been in that in our present day situations when we're expecting God? Okay, and I'm gonna get too ahead of myself, so let's continue here. And it says that Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me. Stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. It's always dangerous when we come up with a way that we think that God is going to work. I've been guilty of this too many times in my life when I've romanticized how a situation is going to happen, how God's going to show up and do it, how he's going to take care of this need, how he's going to bring breakthrough in a physical situation where I need a healing or healing for one of my children. So many situations, I just think, I know how God's going to do this. And I set myself up for this. And then God doesn't show up in that way. Doesn't manifest his healing, his victory in that specific manner that I think, and so it becomes disappointing to me. Okay, well, that's where we have to take God at his word and what he said for us to do, and that will alleviate those kind of disappointments, because then we know that it's just, we're doing exactly what God says, and it's just all going to be on him. And we're not creating a false narrative in our own minds and in our own hearts. Now, are not the Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. It's also dangerous to think that anything that God would want you to do is beneath you. Okay? We have to stay humble. We have to stay teachable. Okay? We're not God. God's ways are always higher than our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. Okay? He knows more than us. At your word. Okay? So if you ask me to do something that seems like it's beneath me, and that shows me right away that I got something in my heart that needs to change. I need to repent, and I need to humble myself before God. Come up underneath his mighty hand. In due time, he will lift me back up again, as the Bible says to us. Now, then his servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then, when he says to you, wash and be clean? So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of the little child, and he was clean. And then he went, he showed it to Elisha, and he tried to give Elisha a gift. And of course, He would not take that, but pointing me and saying, at your word. He went and he had to dip seven times. Now, how many times do we get on five or six? God's nothing's happening. I don't feel anything anymore. The goosebumps left. Okay, I'm discouraged today. Okay, somebody made a comment to me. You know, the devil reminded me of something from my past. How many times do we let ourselves get to four, five, six, six and a half, six and three quarters? And then, because at that time, that's when the enemy is going to come and he's going to fight the hardest. When you're right there ready to cross the finish line, the threshold of victory, of breakthrough, when you've taken God at his word and you're almost at that point of overcoming and seeing the manifestation of his word, the enemy is going to come and try to take one last shot. He's going to throw some haymakers. He's going to maybe bring something across the path we did not see expected. Okay, so we can't go to six and three quarters or even six and seven eighths. You know, we'll get roughed up in the fractions, you know, but we can't go just clear up to that point and then stop. We need to do it all the way. The full seven dips is what it took. Even if it seems like it's beneath it. Naaman was like, I got these other rivers that are cleaner, that are nicer. I have leprosy, man. Okay, I've already got skin problems. And you want me to go to some dirty river? I know we got some germophobiacs in this place. Okay, they didn't have any, you know, what do you call that stuff? I'm looking right at it. Hand sanitizer back then. Didn't have any bars of soap. He just had to go into that dirty river and dip and do what he thought was beneath him and in the way that he didn't think he was going to have to do it. But once he finally did it, at God's word, then the breakthrough came. Then victory was his. Then he was clean. And then he knew that there was only one God in all the world. And that God lived in Israel. Okay? And so when you receive that breakthrough, after you take God at his word, then yourself is going to know in your heart, there's only one God. And he did it for me. And he's going to do it again, because God is faithful. God is always faithful. Always faithful. It is impossible for God to fail. It is not his nature. If something has not come to pass, there could be many of reasons of why. Sometimes because we live in a sinful, fallen, broken world, there are things that just don't happen like we think that they would. But that does not change who God is. Based on your individual circumstance, God is not altered in who he is. And his word has not changed. Okay? Just because I had something happen that I did not expect and that was disappointing, or that brought me to a place where, man, I never thought I would be that low. I was lower than a snake's belly. But you know what? God is still God. And if we do what God says, we take God at his word and be obedient, then we're going to see that victory. Amen? Now, Pastor Phil talked about coming up out of the residue this past Sunday, and that was a tough message. I listened to it on live stream at work, and I probably should have listened to it at home so I could listen to it a couple times so I could lick my wounds a little bit more, because, man, it was a tough one. And I'm still got some open wounds, if you will, but you know what? We all needed to hear it. But there are places, there are points in our natures and in our lifestyles and the way we're doing things that we have to come up all the rest of the way and take God at his word. Step out of the residues of our old natures, our old thought processes, our old ways of doing things, habits that have to be changed for us to be able to go on to victory, and for us to be able to attain the places that God wants us to be at as a church and individual. Okay, so sometimes it requires some strange things. Pastor Phil also talked about strange things. He wants us to believe him for strange things. Now, things that are out of the ordinary, strange things are typically, you know, we consider them weird, super, but God type of strange things are supernatural. Things that only God can do. Things to the natural mind, they seem strange. They seem out of the ordinary. And guys, this is where God wants us to be at, because God didn't call us to be normal, per se. He called us to be unique, a peculiar people. And when we do things at God's word, as we've already seen, sometimes we're going to have to go out of our own elements, our own comfort zones, our own places of knowledge where we have an understanding of certain things and go beyond that and do what God wants us to do, how he wants us to do it. Sometimes we have to go, you know, beneath ourselves, supposedly, and get over our pride and do something that God wants us to do And sometimes we just have to do something that's unusual, that would seem strange to us. Okay? So, in Ezekiel, chapter number 3, I was going to share just a quick story about the prophet Ezekiel. He had to do something pretty strange. If you ever get the opportunity, which hopefully you're taking the opportunity to read through the Word of God in the Old Testament and read through these prophets and some of the things that these men of God had to do to accomplish the task that God wanted them to do, it would seem very, very strange to us. So we're just going to read a quick little story about what Ezekiel had to do for God and see where that leads us. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse number 1 through 4, says this: "Moreover, he said to me, 'Son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll and go speak to the house of Israel.' So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that scroll. And he said to me, 'Son of man, feed your belly and fill your stomach with this scroll that I give you.' So I ate it, and it was in my mouth like honey and sweetness. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak of my words to them.'" Who's hungry for the Word of God? We've got an appetite, and we're ready to eat. I know that I'm hungry right now. Now, the story is eating God's Word. Now, picture this with me for a second. You got a bowl or a plate. You slap down the Bible on the plate. You got your knife and fork. Start cutting it up. Put a little barbecue sauce on it. Start eating. Barbecue sauce makes everything taste better, right? No? Okay, sometimes. Now, can you imagine if Roger said, "Karen, what's for dinner tonight?" She's like, "Oh, we got the third chapter of Ezekiel for dinner tonight." I put it up with some onions. I know Roger likes onions. Okay, and I stirred it up and spiced it up, and that's what we're going to eat tonight. No, we're not necessarily talking about that. Now, I don't know if he actually ate it, or if that was in vision form. But either way, I wouldn't put it past God that God gave him the scroll and he ate it. Of course, he made it taste like honey, so at least he made it taste good. Okay, but we may not physically eat the pages, but church, God is saying to consume his word like you were famished. We have to consume God's word like we're famished, like we have not ate for several days. Now listen, I see my boys eat after it's been 3 hours like they've never ate in their life. Like they're eating so fast because they think the food is going to run off the plate and hide or something. I mean, I've seen 14, 12, 10-year-old boys eat like they have never, you know, like they've missed many meals. And I've seen them scarf down food, consume it, and then just sit there and wait. It used to be I waited on them to see if they were going to finish their food and eat their scraps. Now I got to protect my plate, and I got to try to make sure I get my food in. Otherwise, they might be like, "Hey, Dad, look over there." Next thing I know, my food's gone. You know, we used to make enough food that we could have leftovers, right? And now, if I have leftovers, it doesn't make it past bedtime.